Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Dawn of Defiance campaign continued. Episode 5, The First to Strike, is now two installments underway. Our heroes are thick into the heavy politics of the planet Nizon, trying to liberate the Nazarin species from the Empire. And we're going to get into that in just a minute and recap last week's episode as well. But briefly, let me introduce you to our cast. As always, first, we've got the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young, as Harani Tar.
Well, howdy!
No, that's
completely different character.
We've got the man himself, Tanner Calvert, playing our resident Jedi, Sigurd Talon.
May the Force be with you.
And we've got our Bothan spy, Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
Where to go?
She brought an actual blaster to the fight tonight.
Tanner, tell me.
I almost said actual gun, and that would have been very confusing for the people who couldn't see what was going on. Lindsay just like wheeling the Glock on the other side of the camera just in case.
Tanner, yeah, no.
I keep one in the clip, just, you know.
I need you to tell me to let the Force be with me once again.
May the Force be with you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, that was great.
Kaz! Hey, Kaz!
Oh, good. I'm glad Kaz is here. Finally, somebody to break this up.
Oh, God. Kaz missed the giant. You missed the giant, like, tribute we gave to you with an applause and everything earlier. You're going to have to go back and watch it.
I really greatly appreciated Kaz checking in on me today. I very much did so. In fact, I told my wife and she went, aw. So that's, I very much appreciated that. Briefly, last week's episode. So you guys had been instructed to find a Nazarin by the name of Sartok. He would be the one you'd want to speak with about the politics of the planet Nizon, the people trying to revolt against the Empire, because of course they have enslaved most of this world and their particular race. Sartok, as a matter of fact, was being held in a detention camp in the center of the city of Nizon. Excuse me. You guys managed to free him from that imprisonment. He led you to an underground cave afterward, where he told you that his people were ready to revolt. He asked for your help. And that's basically where we ended the episode, as the Empire was preparing outside to to, I guess, prepare, you would say, for insurrection. They know that the people now are preparing to revolt, and things are very much reaching a boiling point. So do you guys have any questions before we get started? Are we pretty well set on all those things?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Real quick, I have, just so you guys know, and so the people at home know, I mean to do this every time and I always forget. Graz is still sitting on his full 5 force points. He always gets half of what you guys get, so he has not spent any yet, surprisingly. I have Harani at 5 force points and a single destiny. Iris has 9 of her force points and 2 destiny points. And Sigurd has 6 force and 2 destiny as well. So what you guys have?
Yes. Yep.
Very good. So my record keeping is in good shape.
Okay. I don't even have my pages pulled up because I forgot. So
you should probably do that.
You got time. You're okay.
Kaz, what do you think about the new graphics? You like those? I also need to be praised. Go ahead, Hunter. I'm sorry.
He's validation. No, you're good. While you're doing that, I'm going to go look at. I haven't gotten to look at them other than the previews you sent me, so I'm going to look in a bit. but I'm going to go ahead and kind of get us back to where we were. So, excuse me. Sartok had told you all that the biggest concern of him and his people are the Empire's machines. Up against people, they're not really concerned. Again, the Nazarin, I know I sent you guys a picture, but they're very Wookiee-like, but not quite as furry. They're very big, kind of hunched over. So they're a large group, but they were fairly easily subjugated because they are, as Sartok mentioned, not warriors. in general. They are prepared to overthrow their oppressors, but it's the machines that concern them. He obviously knows, however, that you are a group who has opposed the Empire at more than one occasion. And so he said in the ending, I know this world is not yours, that our people are not your people, but if you will aid us, you will always have a place of honor among the Nazarene. as you may remember, he had specifically, or it had been mentioned along the way, that he's probably the guy who would have any information you might want on what the Empire is doing here. So effectively, if you have questions for him, this would be a good time to ask before the revolution begins proper.
Harani is very much angry and focused. She's just spinning her guns waiting. So Iris, this is it. She's entirely up to you. She's still dealing with a tragic death, and she's not good. So Iris, you were definitely the leader on this mission. And then the Jedi, this Sigmund Freud, he doesn't even know what's going on. So Iris, this is your show.
Nareda is out of commission for some time now. I suspect if Harani's not talking during this time, she's probably doing everything she can to start figuring out what mechanic she needs to repair on her out.
True.
I guess first off, if we're more worried about the larger machines, what type of machines are we looking at, and have they had any specific patrol patterns?
He's been detained long enough that he does not have immediate access to patrol patterns, but he knows it's something that he can get for you at a relatively decent clip. Like, that'll be something they'll want to know as well before they start trying to fight. As far as, excuse me, what they're using, he makes mention that because the dust and grit in the air tends to cause pretty fast wear and tear on the speeders, the Empire has assigned a dozen old AT-RTs. These are one-person walkers, like almost miniature versions of the chicken walker, of the AT-STs, left over from the Clone Wars to reinforce their ground troops in the city. He knows there are at least three of them present that he has personally witnessed. Single pilot deals, they're exposed. Actually, if you look, I know you guys were looking earlier, if you look on the map I have pulled up, you can kind of see that's a picture of a mini for this game, actually, of what one looks like. So rather than the AT-ST where it's enclosed, it's open air, but it is still pretty large. It's about 10 feet tall total, and it's definitely considered pretty heavy armament. He does know there are some larger walkers around the planet as well, but he does not suspect that they're going to spend much time in the actual city proper, because A, they can't fit, and B, it would be the Empire kind of cutting off their nose to spite their face. If they start trampling the people that they're trying to enslave, they're kind of wasting their time there. So they would probably only call them into the city in a last ditch effort.
So, despite the fact that they've got some heavy artillery, we still have access to get to the pilots of them, so...
Mm-hmm.
That. I think that's the biggest stuff. Sigurd, can you think of anything else that the Empire might throw at us?
Has there been any sightings of any inquisitorial squads in the area?
good grief, excuse me. Not that he is aware of. The Force is a mysterious thing to him and his people. They are not known to be Force sensitive. And so while he is aware of it, in sense of it being discussed, he doesn't really know what that would really look like. He's not seen anybody who looks like you, if that's what you're asking, effectively.
Okay.
He does say, basically, if you're wanting to know more about the Empire's plans and their records and those sorts of things, he suspects that there is a control center below what is called Martyrs Plaza in the city. It houses the Nizon's most advanced computer system. It tracks major rogue fragments in orbit. You know, you guys came through that dust cloud on your way into the planet. He says the Empire currently controls that and then, of course, flies safely in their skies because of it. He also says there is, of course, the construction site on Mount Antus. It is heavily guarded, but if they manage to take the city, the Empire will have to move a lot of soldiers into the streets, which would leave that site more vulnerable. So those would be key places for of interest for you, perhaps.
Yes, we definitely want to get into their information base. Information is what brought us to this planet to begin with, and in the process of seeing your guys' strife, we're going to aid you as well.
Well, he says if we can regain control of the tracking station under Martyrs Plaza, then we can ensure the Empire ships will be threatened by debris, and only our allies will be able to fly safely near the world. So, if that were the case, then eventually the Empire would be forced to be cut off because they would be stuck with whoever they have there on the planet surface at that time. They couldn't get out. No one else would be able to get in.
Yeah, we definitely need to make part of the plan to take over that area.
Okay. So he makes mention that he says, I have every intention of fighting by your side. I can guide you around the city, ensure that your help goes where it's needed most. I would not ask you to take any risk I am unwilling to take myself.
It's nice. Well, it's good to have you on the team then.
Just remembered, I need to get together a token of him. excuse me. But yeah, beyond that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just
trying to feel something. I'm looking for an image anyway, so you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. It just seems like we've got all the information that we can possibly gather. So I guess our next option is to get this going. See what we got to do.
I don't know why I can't find this image anywhere. There, we'll just use that one.
He's being elusive.
Yeah, I know it's in this setup somewhere, and yet I'm still not seeing it, and I don't know why.
Could you just use a picture of John Lovitz?
I mean, more or less, yeah. They're basically the same. It's basically the same.
It's the same dude. It's the same dude.
Especially because legit, it's acting.
Hi, Michaela. Bye, Michaela. We know you're watching Elimination Chamber. We forgive you this time. We know that's where everybody is.
This is probably the last. This is going to be the last Sunday show we'll have to do for a while. These are not super common most of the time,
right?
Okay, and usually, I mean, a lot of times when we play on Sundays, we play early in the day. So, okay. So, basically, at that, Sartok makes mention that as soon as he gives the word, the people are going to rise, and when he does. From that point on, it's going to be a whirlwind ride to the end, whatever the end ends up being. So effectively, if you need to prepare before that is the case, he says you should probably do so now. If there's anything that you need to do, this is the time to do it. And of course, in the midst of all this discussion of riots and uprising, you guys realize that when it gets a little quieter in the cave, you can still hear the sounds of the Empire marching around outside. People trying to effectively stay out of their way. I mean, it's things are pretty rough as is already. When the people start fighting back, it's only going to get worse.
Are we going to have are we going to have access to a shop of any kind before we go do this?
basically, he says if you can make me a list, I can give you an idea of what you what I can get for you. What are you looking for?
She looks at her gun and she just looks up at him. Thermal detonators.
Them be illegals.
Sarzog laughs and basically says, if I had access to thermal detonators, he pats that satchel on his side and says, this would be full of them. But of course, if it's something you want to keep an eye out for, that would be a key place for them to hit. You know, I mean, he makes mention that the Empire definitely has some sort of armory around here. It's not out of the question that they don't have those or something like that there, so that would be something to keep an eye on.
I would like to hit the armory. I'd look over at Sigurd and say, you want to do some bonding? Hit the armory with me at some point?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go with her.
No, we're not splitting the party. No, we're not doing that. Mm-mm.
No.
No. Seen it? Seen it happen, not a good idea. Yeah, no. All right. We'll split the party.
I need to do second wind.
Okay. So do it. Do you remember how that works?
I know I roll a d20.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. What do I roll?
Nope. You don't roll anything.
Wait, hold on, Tanner. Didn't this dude heal us up when we finished the last mission? Because I'm back to full health.
But I'm still below Tanner
was
half.
Yeah, he was beat up.
Oh,
so second wind in combat is a swift action. Outside of combat, obviously, you don't have to take an action for it. You can do it once per day, which means you won't get to do it again until you take a long rest, sleep for 8 hours. And it heals either, I'll have to look at the exact number, it's either a quarter of your hit points or your constitution score, whichever is greater, if I remember correctly.
Are you on the condition track?
Constitution's? No.
Okay, so your condition's fine, it's just the health?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then.
My constitution's a 10. And my full hit points is 90.
So yeah, a quarter of your total hit points is going to be a higher number. Yes. Okay. I'm going to guess 90 off the top of my head. This is 24. This is 24,
20. Should be...
So 22. You got to round down.
Okay.
So it'll be 22 hit points total. You can get back that way. And that's anybody can do that for the record. Again, if you do it in combat, it's a swift action. But yeah, you can't do it again until... Oh my gosh. Excuse me. Until you take a long rest. I need a long rest. I could use a couple long rests myself.
Same.
The same.
The sinks.
The sinks.
He doesn't even say it right.
Yeah, because I'm reading the results for the elimination chamber.
Why?
So I don't have to watch it.
Spoil it.
He says, so I don't have to watch it. Just spoil it here. That would be the best. Just run.
All right.
Actually, just do it. Do it like WCW. That'll put butts in seats.
I'll just give you updates right now. Hey, we got a new United States champion, Matt Riddle. Congratulations, Matt Riddle.
Okay.
Bryan wins the.
I think you mean just Riddle for the.
Just
record.
Riddle. Sorry. Daniel Bryan wins the Elimination Chamber match and then goes on to fight Roman Reigns, who beats him in just under 2 minutes. But I mean, to be fair, he just wrestled a Elimination Chamber match, so it's whatever. And
they did that on the same night?
Yeah, same night, back to back. It was Elimination Chamber match and then the championship match. And I think Shayna Baszler and My Hole won something.
I think they were defending against the NXT
Sasha and Belair,
team, right?
No, Sasha and Belair.
Sasha and Belair. Gotcha.
And they beat Sasha and Belair, so cool.
Yeah, why? That's weird. All right.
Because all right,
this has been your wrestling moment. Well, not your hole. This has been your moment of Zen. I missed the moment of Zen. Anyway, okay. So you're healed up. You guys want to at one point in time strike the armory, or at least keep an eye out for the armory. Or an armory. Basically, if they've got equipment that you can command, you would like to do so, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, right? The armory, this sounds great, because thermal detonators, they've probably got a stash of lightsabers. We can just start throwing them out like candy. Everyone in this battle can have a lightsaber, because lightsabers are OP.
You get a saber.
Yeah, they're just sitting on them. Actually, it's General Grievous is here, and he's...
He's got them all. How did Obi-Wan beat him? He has so many lightsabers.
Thermal detonators, by the way, because I just felt the need to mention.
Look,
yes, they are illegal.
I'm willing to pay for them. Okay, I want to get my hands on some thermal detonators.
Thermal detonators are illegal, which means they cost 5 times the base number that they're listed at. They're already listed at 2,000 credits, so it's 10,000 credits for a single thermal detonator.
I'm fine with that. I've got so much money right now.
The good news being, when they explode, they deal 8d6 damage.
Yes! Dang. Yes. What's the range? I'm curious.
It says it's an area attack weapon. I'm not sure what the area is. Hang on. I bet it's just 4 squares, though. Because I would also like to know. I'm just curious.
We used to play 4 square in middle school.
Yeah, it's a 4 square burst radius, so I'm going to say that's going to be just... It's 4 squares emanating from around. The easiest way to me to treat that, I hate the way that they say 4 square burst, would be there's the center square and then every adjacent square to it.
Right, splash
that
damage.
To me it's splash damage, yeah. So basically,
here's the thing about the way that they work, though. You throw it, and you can set the timer for 6 seconds, which is one round, or 18 seconds, which is three rounds. It does not explode the round that you throw it.
That's okay. That's all right.
I can not dive and get away from it, technically.
Yeah.
If their turn is
four. Yeah, that's the thing. It would not explode until the beginning of your next turn.
That's fine. I got ideas.
So, but it takes full damage if it's hit, half damage if it misses, based on their reflex.
Because, okay, answer me this. Yeah. Are there any other style of thrown
explosives?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's grenades. There's all kinds of stuff.
Okay, well, let's get this armory, because if it's anything I can throw and explode, I'll be happy.
Yeah, there's frag grenades, there's stun grenades.
Which is weird, because I don't think I've ever seen a grenade in Star Wars that wasn't a thermal. In the movies, at least. I know in the video games, though, but do they ever use them in the movies? Maybe in the Clone Wars. Maybe Clone Wars.
But these are, I mean, literally it listed as a simple fragmentation metal shrapnel grenade. Now, this is a 2-square burst radius. I would treat that as one and then three adjacent to it. You pick which three. Mm-hmm. Rather than one and everyone adjacent in that space. But yeah. Yep, and then there's stun grenades. Standard grenades deal 46. Thermal detonators are 8D, so they're twice as strong, effectively.
You know what's probably what could probably take down a chicken walker pretty quick? Some thermal detonators, that's all I'm saying.
So just for the record,
to the pilot, you just pop them.
Just for the record,
get to them.
Sartok does make it very clear he does not know of the location of an Imperial armory. They don't have like a sign that just says armory over the door. finding one is going to be like a trial and error situation, but he very much makes mention that he will keep the communication channels open. If there is, you know, if he gets any mention of armory or weaponry or anything like that, then he'll make sure that you're the first to know about it.
Is there anything I could do to help with that, with the computer or, you know, hacking or anything?
You could try. I mean, if you want to try to slice the holonet for that, you can use computer, see what you can come up with.
Can I do that real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Nope, it's not a 2d20. I wish it was.
No, it's not.
I got a 20.
Damn. Oh, sorry. 20 total. Okay.
Yeah.
I was having a look around. As far as Imperial records on the Holonet, you're not getting a lot. Most of it is rumor. Basic searches for Empire, Armory, Nizon, etc., are coming up with lots of chatter about, you know, the Empire having armored walkers on the planet and stuff. But as far as a location, nobody's really saying anything about specific buildings and places like that. It is clear that they have armory there. They have some armaments on the planet, but where exactly, as far as a central location, there's no particular information about that.
Okay. All right. Then, I will go back to Iris's idea and follow her.
It's just, okay. We need to go wherever we need to start taking people out and okay. to get to our information center.
As Sartok starts kind of sending the word to his people, you see that as you guys are discussing this, he's pulled a data pad from his satchel and he's sending out some coordinates and such. He starts to kind of tell you offhandedly, he's actually looking away as he does this, but it's clear he's addressing you, that one of the ways the Empire has kept their population under control is with armed checkpoints throughout the city. You've probably encountered more than one at this point. He says movement is really limited to those with the proper Imperial forms there, which makes it difficult for the Nazarene to gather and plan. And he is just getting word that the central checkpoint, Gamma, is being held by those AT-RT walkers that he mentioned, equipped with heavy weapons. Unless they can open that up, because that's really the funnel right now, that's the floodgate, the small units of Nazarene that are trying to start the uprising won't be able to get together to form more effective squads of rioters. So that needs to be your first location, he suggests.
All right, sounds good.
I want to ask him, is this cave fairly secure? Like, no one's going to mess with anything?
Oh yeah, his stuff has been hiding here ever since he was taken into custody, and as he pats the satchel he keeps over his shoulder, still all intact.
All right, then Harani is going to kind of pat Narada on the head and say, then I'm just going to leave this here. She should wake up in about a day or so, and she can just figure out where we are. And
he kind of cocks an eyebrow, even though he doesn't have one. It's just like part of his musculature, and says, suit yourself.
And she answers no questions about how that's possible, or in response to the odd looks that she's getting by treating the girl as a thing. So it's she'll be fine. We're just gonna leave her here safe. We'll come back for her, or she'll find us, one or the other.
She has a homing beacon for you.
Look,
fair enough.
The secrets of Narada Jinx will be revealed over time. Right now, we got to blow stuff up.
So Sartok gathers you all together. He pulls a heavy blaster from his. Is it a heavy blaster? It's a blaster. I can't remember if it's a heavy blaster.
Big enough, you should have a heavy blaster. No, okay.
It's a standard one, but it's clearly customized. Like, he's done some work to it. It's got some, as a matter of fact, Iris, you probably are a bit like, ooh, that's interesting. he's made some modifications. But so he basically gathers you all and sets off in the direction of this checkpoint Gamma that he mentioned. As you guys are leaving the cave. Again, it's clear that tensions are high in the city. Maybe not as bad as you expected at this point, but again, these checkpoints are really holding back any major uprisings yet. There are groups of Nazarene that are being detained by stormtroopers. Many of them are stormtroopers are now walking armed rather than just, you know, blasters attached at their hip or at the side. Again, tensions are high, and so Sartok is very much weaving through the buildings and staying in the shadows as much as he can, leading you along that way. Eventually, you make your way to what looks like a pretty wide street littered with some abandoned crates. There's some broken down speeders. There's a big gate between two what they call ferrocrete barricades and several of those AT-RT walkers that are tromping around in the area. You can really only see two from the location from where you are approaching. You guys are approaching from the right on the map there. A Nazarene with what look like some pretty serious battle wounds kind of just bursts out of the shadows from between a couple of buildings and comes stumbling out of the smoke, rushes up toward you, Sartok in particular, and starts talking to him and points back to this rubble-choked street behind her and says, the Imperials have set up a new checkpoint. Heavy weapons are guarding it, and we can't break through. It's preventing our two largest groups from connecting and taking control of the outer sections of the city. In that moment, through the smoke, you see flashes of heavy blaster fire, and you can hear more Nazarene running from a fight that is obviously too much for them at this point.
And we're behind the chicken walkers, right? I know these aren't exactly chicken walkers, but we're behind them, yeah. Right? Okay.
Yeah, you're far enough back that they can't see you. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to kind of put you in a straight line here, and then you guys can kind of decide where you exactly want to be. I'll put old Sartok in the middle there, since they ran up to talk to him.
Now here's what the Tar is thinking. The Tar is thinking that she's going to stealth up to the back of that chicken walker, climb inside of it, take out the guy piloting it, and then use it.
Okay.
It's a stupid move, but hear me out. That's all I got. Yeah.
I mean, it's as they say, it's certainly something you can try.
Well, yes, if that's your plan, you and I need to switch positions as to where we're at.
Yes.
So that you can go to the closest one. I can be behind the other speeder to start aiming at the one in front.
Harani, she looks back at Graz and says, I need you to tag that guy in the head if I screw this up.
He pulls his bowcaster and readies it. You hear the gets it ready.
Wait, what's your stealth?
A lot.
Stealth is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay. So rather than starting with initiative, because they don't necessarily know that you're there at the moment, Harani, we're going to start with not really a surprise round, but I'm going to have you make the stealth check. To get up to this thing. So let's just start there, and we'll kind of go from there and see what happens.
All right. Kaz, I need you to pray on this. Twenty-six.
All right. Let me make a little roll here. Oh, I don't even have my dice pulled up. Makes you feel any better? That's something I forgot to do. Move this down to the bottom. Out of the way. My computer's definitely trying to take off right now. Okay. Oh!
Boo!
Well.
Wow.
Boo.
Wow! We're starting hot tonight!
So, Harani, you get to... I'm gonna say right about here, like right in front of this speeder.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that what you, as best you could tell through the haze and the smoke and everything, that walker was facing away from you. As it turns out, it's actually stomping directly toward you. And so you're basically just not concealed enough. It comes out of the smoke, like bursting out of the sort of wall of smoke and debris and stuff, and is facing directly down toward you and angles its guns downward. And so we need to make some initiative rolls.
Hunter, there's a lot of things I let you get away with that I don't quit the show out of rage like Steven. This is one of those times you're pushing it real hard, real close.
The dice make the rolls, man. I don't make the dice rolls.
Oh, are
Why
you?
Did I say it like
aren't
like
you? Aren't
Bill
you that?
Cosby?
Aren't you that British rapper, Coldy? What was it? Coldy Squares.
Coldy Squares.
Coldy Squares.
Coldy Squares.
I got a 20.
Okay, hang on just a second, Ronnie. Graz. Star Talk. And Iris. All right, Iris, you got what total? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
20.
20. I didn't. Nothing came through that time.
That's okay.
Hey, I got a 6. Let's write that down real quick. I got a 6. So make sure I go dead last. If we could just get that on the record, please.
Graz got a 32, so your plan is probably going to play out the way you were planning it to.
Time out. What? Graz got a 32?
Mm-hmm.
Son of a Sarlacc.
So did I. Oh, son of a star, so got me.
So they both have plus 13s.
Yeah, you had the same bonus too. Yeah. All right, roll off. Just roll a d20. Whoever gets higher goes first. I'm right down the middle. No bonuses. Just d20.
Son of a bitch.
All right, so Grouse is going first.
Son of a 31. Bespin.
And then what is Sartok's bonus? I don't actually know.
Yeah, I really made a mistake having Kaz pray for me. That was like
Where's Michaela when you need her?
Yeah, I need someone pure and good.
It's a plus 8.
And it ain't Kaz.
He's over there hitting himself with the horse.
He's just going to town on himself, on his own face.
All right, and then my villains, where are they?
The question is, Kaz, what we need to figure out is why every time you get on camera on Discord, you suddenly go into bullet time and the rest of us stay still.
Oh. What is this? Sorry, I'm reading something over real quick. Well,
that's right. I'm just not having
that sounds.
I'm just not having fun with this, guys. I'm gonna bail out for tonight.
I'm just gonna back. I'm just gonna
catch you guys on the next one.
Okay, so Graz is going first. There's your good news for the moment here, because it basically is going to play out exactly the way that you had suggested. If these guys, you know, see me come and make a move, and indeed he is going to. Graz is going to take a shot at that first one. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I got his bowcaster out. I'm going to have him.
I bet it's a nat 20.
I mean, wouldn't you want it to be?
Yes. A thousand
isn't
times.
That a good,
please, Graz.
Isn't that a good thing?
Please. My boy's a Wookiee.
Here we go. Well, that's not a nat 20, but I suspect that will be enough to hit. Indeed, it will be enough to hit. What was that total roll? I feel like I should tell you guys, even though I don't want you metagaming. His total roll is 15 plus 12. That's a 27. So he hit with a 27. I don't think that's going to tell you much, but just
time,
so you know.
Time out.
Yeah.
Where the hell did you get a Mr. Peanut made?
Lindsay, this is one of my Christmas gifts.
I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Neat. You ever seen Mr. Peanut?
I hadn't.
Mr. Peanut.
All right, you want to see something?
I had to scour for a 3PO to alter.
You want to see something really badass, Tanner? I present to you custom-made Farfetch'd that Lindsay made for me.
Surfetched.
I'm sorry. And, like, this is one of the best. This sits next to my desk. It looks so good. I think it's the best thing she's ever created.
That's pretty nice.
I got it sitting on a little podium. So,
not only does Graz land a solid hit on this thing, 22 damage. He pushes it two spaces down on the condition track. Hirani, he very much did exactly what you wanted him to do. He didn't tag the pilot so much, but he puts a solid quarrel right into the center of this thing. When it levels its guns, he hits right in between it, and you hear the pops and smoking and the fire and all that, the electrical pops. Things are not good inside this, or in the internal workings of this walker. Having done that, Graz is also going to now, let's see, move up. Actually, he's just going to put himself right between the two of you. And then he's going to enact his ward at talent. So he acts as soft cover for you until the start of his next turn.
My Wookiee friend. Say it, Tanner.
My Wookiee friend.
and that'll be it for Graz. Sigurd, you're up next.
Okay, I would like to move up beside Graz.
Okay, right there.
Yep, and quick draw.
Okay.
And attack.
Okay.
That's not what I want to do.
It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be single, yeah.
Good lord, I have all these little pieces of paper on my desk.
A 29.
29 hits, yes.
Okay.
That is a hit.
So that is, in fact, a hit.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Let's see.
Roll that beautiful bean damage.
You know, you think I'd have this memorized, but I don't.
Yeah, I got the same problem. I hate having to check my stats every week. I should know this stuff by now.
11.
It changes often enough that it's understandable. 11 damage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not dead, or, you know, for lack of a better term, disabled. But let's see, I should do it like this. You do push it another step down on the condition track, which, if you guys have noticed, means it's now at a -5 on all things. These things they're battle weary. Now that you're up close to them, you can tell they've been used a lot. These things are left over from the Clone Wars. They're using them to reinforce their ground troops. And so they're not in great shape. I mean, they do what they can, and they're certainly more powerful than, you know, just a standard trooper with a blaster. But they're taking some solid hits. So, not destroyed, but pushed quite a ways down on the condition track.
Okay.
And that's it for you, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Iris, you're up next.
I want to move up to the speeder that's to the north kind of use it as cover.
Okay. Right there?
Yep.
Okay.
And I am also going to take a shot at the one we're trying to take out.
Do it.
So do.
I leave power.
Good.
25.
Boy, this is
25 to hit.
Yep.
That is a hit.
What'd you say, Tanner?
This has got to keep up tonight, please.
Shut the hell up. I didn't get to do what I wanted, and that's all that matters to me. I don't care about the team, Tanner. I don't care about the game
mode. Look at my kills.
Look at my kills.
F the team. Look at my kills.
21 damage.
Good.
Get on the horse.
I want my attack elo.
So this is interesting. This is the first time that I'm telling you, I'm pulling back the curtain, Cody. I'm telling you guys this. You have not reduced it to 0 hit points, but you have brought it down to disabled on the condition track. You actually reduced its condition track so far down that it is going out of commission before its hit points are gone.
Sweet.
Yeah. So technically, it is not destroyed, but Iris, your shot disables it completely, effectively. You can see the opening. Sigurd sliced a nice little space for you. And so it is now what is called helpless on the condition track. It is officially disabled. The pilot who's sitting in it notices like his controls are no longer working. You can see him like frantically trying to control them, and they are not working. And so, yeah, the walker itself is disabled.
Before we can even get to the next part, I have to ask, is there any way that it can be repaired? Like, can I use my mechanics to repair that to make it operable?
It's possible. It's possible, yeah. Now, it is still... the damage that it sustained will still be sustained. So I can tell you, I can't tell you how many hit points it has right now, but it's not many. Okay. So you could probably bring it up on the condition track, but it's something that would require extensive repairs. And then the hit point damage is something that takes a whole other series of things, but it's not out of the question if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
Okay. Iris, you moved Drew an attack. So that's everything.
That's all
right?
For me.
Got it. Then that means we go to Sartok is the next one. And noticing that the pilot is now helpless, he is going to do his level best to make sure that that guy doesn't get a chance to do anything but sit there and bleed. So, let's see.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So, can we aim at the pilots? Is that a called shot, or...?
You can, but the defenses of the walker itself are high enough that it's going to make it very, very difficult for you to tag a pilot first.
Okay.
Because there's like personal shielding and stuff in the way.
Okay.
Sartok is going to take, he's going to follow your lead, Iris. He's moving behind the other speeder, and he's going to shoot at the pilot now that he is exposed. And you don't want him exposing himself.
Am I this pale normally?
Yes.
Am I seriously?
Yes. Yeah. No, not that, like,
I'm
not
like white as a ghost.
Like,
yeah.
But...
oh, man. I got to go to the tanning bed.
No, that's a bad idea. So Sartok takes a level shot at the pilot, who is desperately scrambling, trying to get out of the speeder, and puts one directly into his chest plate. You see him slump over the front of the controls, and he appears to be out of commission. And with that... it's time for the walkers. Well, one of them obviously is not going to get to move or do anything. But the other two are still very much capable of making a move. So
can I, see. Can we tag, since we know which one's which, can we call the one on the left Texas and the one on the right Ranger?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That works for me.
That's for you, Tanner. And Lindsay, because they're rebooting that show.
With Jared Padalecki.
That's him.
Weird as that is.
Right? See, the thing is, I didn't really care for the original show, so I don't know if I want to watch the new one.
I can't lie. I love the original show. I'm not going to lie. I don't like Chuck Norris, but I love the original show. I didn't know politics back then, so I just watched it because Chuck Norris kick hard.
That's really all you need to know about it.
It's true.
Can I please make that go away? Please go away. Please stop.
Please, no Steppy.
Why you do this? Please, no Steppy.
No Steppy.
Okay, there we go. Now I got it.
I was going to bust out my lightsaber tonight, Lindsay, for this, but I forgot where I put it.
I have it.
What?
I have it. I have all the lightsabers except your Kylo Ren one.
Hmm. That would be why I couldn't find it.
Hmm. Okay, so I don't know why I'm doing it too. The first walker, which I guess would be Ranger at this point,
yes,
turns and sees the just absolute massacre that's happening behind him. You see him fiddle with his controls. The center cannon on the walker comes up, and this is not the two laser cannons on the side. And he pulls on a lever, and you hear a thump, and then a. And there is a mortar shell coming in at, let's see, 2 square burst. It's going to hit all, or it's going to be in the vicinity of all three of you, Sigurd, Graz, and Hirani. So.
I bet it got that from a care package.
Probably, yeah. Artillery. You know, he's not running that. Hmm. He's not running that, actually.
No. Plus, he doesn't have any kills.
He's gonna miss. He's gonna miss for everybody. Okay, so it's gonna be half damage for all three of you. Nobody's reflex is that low. I'm not worried about that. So, he's gonna still deal the damage, and then it'll be you'll take half of whatever this damage is. And so, 5 damage for all three of you.
Okay.
There we go. And then after that, because he is also not moving, now he's going to attack with his cannons. And let's see. Excuse me. Yeah, so he's going to auto-fire the cannons into that area. So it's another group attack. He gets a pretty small bonus to hit it.
I'm just going to wait to put in my damage then.
Okay. He's also going to miss again. So again, you're all going to take half damage on this. Now, Sigurd, for the record, these are laser blasts.
He's not paying attention.
Tanner.
Okay.
Sorry, I was doing something. What's up?
You're good. So everyone takes... the three of you between the mortar shells and the laser cannons take a grand total of 12 damage.
That's not including the 5 from a second ago?
That is including it.
Okay, so another...
Yep, 7. You take 7 from the lasers and then another 5 from the mortar shell.
I hate to run, but I need a tissue. I'll be right back.
You're good.
Tanner, please, pay attention.
I'm still trying to finish report stuff from the fire earlier.
Now the other one is going to move up through the center of there. And he's only going to get one attack for having done so. I'm going to have him also fire off that mortar again at that crew. So there's another chance he'll take some damage here. One more time.
Well, I wish
that's much better.
I wish we had thermal detonators.
What's everybody's reflex?
Mine is a 29.
Mine's not going to be
too far out.
Mine's not going to be enough. 25. So just hit me.
I mean, but what is it?
I would
like to know.
It's not enough. It's 22. I know it's not enough. It's never enough.
It's actually just not enough. but here's the thing. Kroz is providing soft cover for you, which means that it's a -2. So it's actually now it is enough.
Oh, thank God.
So once again, you're only taking half damage here.
Thank you, Graz. Graz, making sure I don't quit.
So that's another 5. So another 5 on top of whatever. So a grand total of 17 damage for the three of you this round.
All right.
What you take.
It's just, you know, it doesn't seem that bad until you consider the fact that it's all three of us at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. It's that group damage. And the fact that as a walker, you can pretty well tell they can do this every round. Like, this is not it's not like those shoulder mounted rocket launchers where you got to reload those bad boys. This is every single round they can fire that stuff off. All right. And then finally, Harani, you are next in the order.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do as a free action, I think those still exist, is tell the group spread out. And I'm going to, oh, hell, if I don't move, I can shoot twice. If I do move, I can take better cover. That's a hard one.
Graz, for the record, will be providing soft cover for you until the start of his next turn. But his next turn is coming up right after yours. So if you move, he's probably going to move with you. I mean, just whatever you want him to do.
Right. I definitely want him to stay with me. That is true.
You know that is true.
I know you said Lindsay was out of range, so that makes me think we should back up and get away from these blasts.
She was out of range for the... I mean, these things were shooting in a it's a 2-square burst, so right. She's out of range for that particular burst.
Because they weren't aiming at me.
Okay, so they got the range, they just weren't aiming at her. All right. Yes. Then, yeah, I'm going to move up. Can I move up where... And I'm pointing at the screen like you can see it, like an idiot.
You're pulling my kind of moves.
It's fine.
Can I move straight. Well, you know what?
That's another thing I got to figure out is how to make it. Use your directionals.
Well, no, I'm just thinking like do it. Everyone, because the only person here with me is Sigurd. Sigurd is going to move in close to them because he has a melee attack. So no matter where I move, I'm still going to be, you know, I'm going to be away from everybody except Groz, who's going to be with me. So I might as well not move at all. All right. Not moving. I'm just going to take double shot at him.
Okay.
So first shot. Nope, it's not a 1D negative plus 2. I'm going home, guys. I'm
a D negative.
I just quit. I'm quitting the show. 18.
18 to hit?
Yes.
Yes, that is a hit.
All right. Next shot.
Ooh!
Okay. Well, that's clearly a hit.
That's a hit.
A nat 20.
So roll the first damage. Roll the first damage so I can work all this out.
You need to quit more often.
No, every time I try, you guys try to stop me. So what is the damage?
The dice plus one? Try to stop you now.
Plus four. All right, so here's the first one. The one that's not a nat 20.
22.
Okay. So you don't have to roll
it. The maximum damage that you would do with the other one, 16-24, is 28. So we're talking a grand total of 50 damage.
Jeez! That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
And that was on Ranger. I meant to say that, but that was on Ranger, obviously, the closer one.
I assumed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I assumed as much. That was the case. I hate the way that this treats it as like a single shot. I'm going to treat it as you pull them both and you just go nuts.
I put both arms around Groz, almost like I'm hugging him, and then I'm just pow, 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 pow.
Just fire.
Yeah.
I want to hear Groz's reaction to this.
He's fine with it.
It's just when this is all said and done, it's clear that this walker is maybe in better shape than the other, because that would have probably completely destroyed the other one. But it definitely has taken a significant toll on it. It has pushed two spaces down on the condition track, and it has a pretty significant amount of damage. However, you can tell that the shields are soaking up a little more on this one. So these things are not equal. Again, being the hard leftovers from the Clone War, some of them are in better or worse shape than the others. But it's not in good shape after that. As a matter of fact, you get the idea, another couple of solid hits and this thing is done for.
Okay. And that's it.
Good?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Groz, being where he is, sees no reason to go taking off. And given that he's got you in place, he's got line of sight because that other thing is now officially out of his way. I'm just going to have him go for it.
Just jump into it.
Go for it. So here we go.
All right.
I should put his. Yeah, that's a hit.
That's definitely. I think that's a hit. Yeah.
I would wager
that's a hit.
32. Yeah. 32 that he rolled there.
Yes.
Go Groz.
And I appreciate that. Believe me.
Hit. Damage. 19. Which is just enough to destroy it.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
He had exactly. I mean, I'm not kidding. He had exactly. Like, this is no joke. 19 hit points left. So this one, yeah, this one is going to be different than the other because it didn't get pushed down on the condition track. So Hirani just starts blasting away at this thing. So anyway, she started blasting. And Groz takes the lead, and where those shots are hitting, as soon as he sees an opening, he fires one of those quarrels directly into it.
Yes.
You see the guy in it scrambling, and it just very much makes the... and explodes on the spot. That thing is done for.
I guess even without thermal detonators, the explosion will just have to satisfy me.
Yes.
For now.
Okay. And Groz is again going to kick in his ward, soft cover for you until the start. Oh, that takes out the pilot too, by the way. I just assumed you guys
figured the explosion would.
Yeah, the pilot does not make it out of that. He kicks in his ward. So basically what he does is after taking that shot, he leans back and makes sure that Hirani is behind him so that he can he's basically just doing this number. So you're covered. Okay.
I appreciate that.
That's it for Groz.
I appreciate that about him.
Is that what you appreciate about him?
It's not all that I appreciate.
Sigurd, you're up.
Okay, I'm trying to. My browser's not going to work with me here. I want to move as close to the last remaining target as I possibly can.
Okay. So
I'll let you figure that out.
You're still going to be a space away from it.
Okay.
On a single move.
All right. So then, as soon as the book loads, or maybe you can remember it.
What are you hunting for?
Yeah, I have the actual book in front of me, so.
Okay, I was going to look at Force Thrust. It's on page 98.
What the hell? Save yeah, that
Force Thrust. Thrust, okay. He says, on page 98.
Sorry. Not Horse Thrust?
Sorry.
It's Horse Thrust.
No! No!
So you make a use the force check, they make a strength check, and if you beat it, you push them back one square plus an additional square for every 5 points you exceed their check result. If you push them into something bigger than them, they take a d6 points of damage, and that's it.
That seems a little weak right now. Let's go with force slam then.
Okay.
Mikhail, I'm glad you jumped in to say horse. Appreciate that.
I see.
Horse. Oh, now horse. Kaz is still listening because he just did hashtag horse thrust. Damn it. This is what I was, so we were trying to avoid.
A 31.
So slam. Oh, you already did it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a use the force check against their fort defense. There's no part of me that believes that they have a better fort than a 31. So we'll just look. No, they do not. So it Let's takes 46 points of damage unless you spend a force point, at which point it takes 6
d6. I will spend one.
Okay. So that's going to put you at 5. Takes 66 damage.
Let's see what I can do.
You do not belong in here.
Wait, Elimination Chamber is over already? It's barely past 8:30.
8:43. Jeez. Are you kidding me?
I'm looking it
26
up.
Damage.
26 damage?
Yep.
Okay. So. All right. Threshold. That does not beat the threshold of it. Here's what I have to. It does deal its damage. He takes some damage. He's damaged. If I remember correctly, it's knocked prone. I got to figure out how to make that work. No, I mean, it's easy enough. I guess we'll just say the walker itself is knocked prone. It's knocked over on its side. So, yeah.
Okay. Knocked prone. And for my swift, I'm going to use lightsaber defense. So now my reflexes are a 26.
Gotcha. Sounds good. All right.
Then oh.
After Sir.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, major spoiler. Do you want the major spoiler for the show?
Yeah, tell me. It's already over.
Yeah, so Elimination Chamber match. Drew McIntyre wins. After the match, Bobby Lashley beats the tar out of him. And then Miz comes down, cashes in as new champion.
Oh!
Miz, champion good. Once again.
That's good. That's fine. I told you, I don't like Drew McIntyre. I don't get into the guy at all.
I really like Drew McIntyre, but I also really like the Miz, so I'm torn.
Yeah. I'm here for that. Yeah. I feel like this is still going to probably set up something for Mania. Mm-hmm. I don't think Miz is going to be champion going into Mania. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think someone else is going to take it from him, and then they're going to do McIntyre versus whoever beats Miz for the title.
Could be.
Probably Goldberg.
Still wonder if they're trying to get The Rock involved, because it very much seemed like Edge and Reigns was going to be the move.
But... Edge and Reigns, I think, is because Edge speared Reigns after his match, so...
Gotcha. All right, so Iris, you're up.
So
this thing is officially prone on the record.
With it being as large as it is it being prone still going to give me issues shooting it?
Okay. Yeah, not much. I think that penalty's only like a -2.
Okay. Well, I am going to stay put and aim and take a shot at it.
Okay.
26.
That is a hit.
Okay, and since I aimed, my debilitating shot goes in with it, so it also gets moved down on the tracker along with everything else.
Very good. I'll make it work. Get out of here. Horse here.
And I get an extra damage die because I aimed.
Kaz, is that should we make that a shirt? The front picture of the horse that says hashtag horse thrust?
No. Also,
no.
Here's how I'm going to change this up. Shannon, you have got to change your roll 20 picture. I can't keep looking at old Grom. I look down and I see like everybody's got their character pictures and Grom is just
staring at me.
Well, what is he? What else is he supposed to do? That old Baneland's dead.
Oh, Baneland.
Baneland.
24 damage. Man.
I'm sorry. 24 damage?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think so. That's gonna be. Is this true?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Oh, let me find an animated picture of Grom to put in the corner instead of Grogu.
Not destroyed, but damaged, and again, prone, so still in pretty bad shape. That's all for you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then next in the order is Sartok gets to go. He actually is going to move out to... I can get him to right here. He's going to move up to the front of that speeder, and he too is going to take a shot in much the same way that you did. And he is going to hit. Steal some damage. I don't think he gets any bonuses, did he? I'm going to scroll around here. Okay.
Elder Scrolls. Grom. Old Baneland.
19 damage. Stop it.
Baneland is still on the ship. Leave him out of this.
Baneland.
Baneland.
God, how long did that last? We were at that for a long time.
Quite a while, and it's never too late to bring it back.
Yeah, you gotta bring it back.
Yeah. It's vintage now.
That is gonna be it for Sartok, which means these guys get to go. Obviously, he's gotta spend his move action getting up. Oh, excuse me.
Thank you, Michaela. Michaela complimented the labels. Appreciate it.
And he's going to spend his move action getting up, which means he's only going to get one attack. So, well, the Jedi is right in front of him.
Come at me,
Nazarene back there would be the... What's that?
Come at me, bro.
Well, the Nazarene back there would be his main target, because it is one of the Nazarene. And of course, he's got a mortar, so he can launch that. He might also blow up that speeder in the process. Yeah, I'm going to have him launch his mortar back.
Oh, no. That's some Call of Duty stuff right there. When you're standing next to the car and the car blows up.
Mm-hmm. Reflex wise, he's not going to hit Iris. You're too far out anyway for him to hit you. He's also not going to hit Sartok, but he's obviously going to hit the speeder. Now let's see what kind of damage he's going to do to it, and let's see if it can survive that kind of damage. Actually, I need to look that information up.
Look that up. The one contact is being a brat, so I'm going to get eye drops.
Baneland.
You're good.
Baneland. I loved you, old man.
And Hunter, just refresh my memory, because I know to do a triple attack and it's a full round move. Mm-hmm. Double attack, is that a full round?
Yes. Yeah, both of those are full round actions. The difference is double attack, you have a stronger chance to hit. Triple attack, you would do more damage, obviously, because you have three attacks. So he's going to take 6 points of damage. 12 enough. He does not blow up the speeder. He deals some damage to it. It definitely is not drivable anymore, but it is not like on fire or going to blow up or anything like that. And that's all he's got. He can't move anymore. So, Hirani, you're up.
Same thing. Stay where I'm at and blast him.
Okay. He's standing back up now, so you don't have to worry about penalties to hit or anything like that.
All right. First shot.
Oh, my gosh.
14.
Yeah, 14 does not hit.
Go ahead, use one. Yeah, I'm going to use a force point on it.
Okay.
Nineteen.
A 19 does hit.
Sweet. Thank you, Tanner.
Welcome.
Second shot.
15.
15 does hit.
Oh, okay. About to say. Oh, I don't want to use another force point. All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
First shot. 19. Okay. Second shot.
You don't have to roll the second one.
Oh, damn it. I did. It was 18.
Go ahead.
So it was a good shot. Yeah, it was a good shot.
He had 3 hit points left.
Ah.
Yeah, you guys just basically swarm in on this guy. And much like the one before him, Hirani, you see that opening and take it. And the shots loose out to the point that eventually, as soon as he stands up between those two barriers, you catch him right. You catch the walker right in those spaces where the electrical components are frying, and then you just hear the explosion. Sigurd, not enough to damage you, but the wind does rush back over you in the process. You turn and take cover as this happens. And a large portion of that barrier that he's standing in between is destroyed in the process. And in that happening, you see that Nazrin on the other side now, as the dust starts to settle and everything, are cheering and throwing up hands. And
bonus!
Yeah, they're quite satisfied with this being the case. Being that there is no immediate Imperial presence, the Nazrin throw up a cheer. Sartok starts to speak with several of them, clearly people who are leaders from their group and such. Hirani, earlier you were asking about the ATRTs. The first one that you attacked, I guess I shouldn't put a red X over that.
Maybe a blue X.
I don't have a blue X. I'll put a red dot on it. Okay. About that.
Okay.
Which, by the way, sidebar, reminds me, just the other day, we're watching through Seinfeld again, and we saw the episode that was the one that we read, the very first read-through we ever did. The red dot on the casual.
No!
Yeah.
We were watching it, and I'm listening to it going, I remember all of these. I mean, I've seen that episode a million times anyway, but it was so much funnier having actually done it, especially Kramer's deal with the Hannigans. Goes down smooth. Oh, it was killing me. Anyway.
That really was. God. Was that our first one, or was it the first one? Or was it 12-ounce mouse?
Seinfeld was the first one. I remember
Seinfeld was the first one.
Because that's the only time we actually did a full episode read through. Because at one point in time, that was my idea, was we should do those more often. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just, it morphed into, let's just do like a cold open SNL sketch type thing. Yeah.
Or one written by the cast.
Mm-hmm. We need more of those.
I'll tell the writer.
Shannon hit you with that Tim Heidecker, the GIF. I'm just going. Okay. Okay, so you were asking me about this ATRT earlier. That one is the only one that did survive. The others are literally just, one of them is just like legs standing in place. The other one was more or less taken out completely as the parts of the barrier crumbled onto it. The one that did survive does show some pretty significant signs of damage. One of the Nazrin comes over as you're looking over it and offers to haul it to an underground shop to see if he can repair it. If you were wanting to pilot it, he says it's not out of the question, but it's going to require you to really do some regular upkeep on it. What that means in game terms is you're going to have to make both pilot checks to pilot it and mechanics checks to keep it running smoothly. I can also tell you, now that we're out of combat and such, as you inspect it over in terms of game terms, it has 7 hit points left. So it's not in great shape.
How do we repair those hit points? What does that entail?
It's going to take some significant time. If you want to hang out for a couple of hours, the guy can see what he can do. But it's not going to be ever fully back up to capability. At least not right now, anyway.
I'll tell you, we'll leave it with him, and I'll give him my space card.
Your card.
Yeah, and tell him whenever it's done to, you know, let me know, and there'll be a bonus in it for him if he can get it done, you know, exceptionally well.
Yeah, yeah. He and his buddies are already, they brought around like a little hover cart thing, and they're loading it onto it because they obviously want to make use of it as best they can. So
here's what I'm thinking. For the most part, my minion ain't got a lot of hit points. If she can sit in this machine, this machine's got to have more hit points at some point. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see any reason not to tell you at this point. Total, it has 60 hit points.
Yeah, that's significantly more than 21.
It has a threshold of 30. It also has a damage reduction of 10 at full capability.
Right.
Its reflex, however, is a 14.
Ooh,
so
that's rough.
That's a slow boy.
Yeah, it cannot move quickly is the thing. It has a strong fort defense of a 20, but it has a reflex of 14, which is why it's so easy to hit.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. We may donate it to the cause. You never know. You never know.
Yeah. Well, for the record, right now it's already been donated. They're not asking permission.
But they have my
they're
card.
They're taking it and doing.
But they have my card.
They're taking it and doing what they can with it. So basically, they're making clear that if you need it, they will be in touch.
Okay.
But they've got to actually get it up and working first before that is the case.
Right on.
As the kind of, you know, brief moments of mirth and merriment come to an end, Sartok comes over, and you knew this was coming after he speaks with several of the leaders, and makes mention that now that the resistance groups are meeting up and the revolution has truly begun, there are lots of different things that are happening all at once. He's going to present you with some options, effectively, and ask where you would like to make your move next, because there are quite a few things that are kind of ongoing. So I'll tell you guys, these are going to be non-combat encounters, effectively. These are what we call skill challenges. So they're things where you're going to be using your skills specifically to try to resolve them. There's no maps or anything for these. Here are the options that Sartok presents to you as far as things that need to be done. First of all, a Nazarene resistance fighter has picked up transmissions on an Imperial channel from a guard post that has gotten word of the riots. A strong suggestion has been made that you all pose as Imperial officers and attempt to convince the guard post not to send the reinforcements.
Ooh, I'll tackle that. My deception is through the roof.
Except that you're not human.
Damn.
That's racist.
Is she right, though?
It's true. There's also mention of a stash of weapons in an Imperial garrison that could be enough to turn the tide in several sections of the city. There's a suggestion that you attempt to either bluff or sneak your way in, obtain the weapons, and funnel them to the resistance. A communications array atop an Nazarene building that needs to be disabled so the Empire cannot signal the Star Destroyer, the Arcanian Dragon that you encountered for help. Effectively, you would have to make your way up to the roof and then secure some explosives that would be provided for you. Let's see, what else? There's a group of captured resistance fighters abandoned in a detention facility when the Imperial Guards were called away. And at some point in time, they would need to be rescued. So basically find a way to open the cell doors and get the prisoners out to join the resistance. What else? The chaos already has started to leave lots of groups scattered and uncoordinated. One group in particular has some access codes to a garrison, but they cannot be found. So the idea would be that you all would seek them out and attempt to locate them. For now, those appear to be the main things that need to be taken care of.
How many of those actually involve physically being there versus, like, to make sure they don't send reinforcements? Do we actually have to go and pose as officers, or do we pose as officers on, like, the comlink or what?
You could certainly try some other ways of going around it. You would know inherently it's going to be more difficult to not do it in person, because obviously in the midst of all this chaos, they're expecting that people are going to be trying to not just jam their communications, but pose as officers and such. So being there in person theoretically would be more powerful. Obviously that would be problematic for someone who's not human, but
yeah, that's literally all of us except Sigurd is my thinking.
Yes.
He is the only human being. So oh my god.
So for the record, again, Sartok does not say that all of these things are things that you have to tackle. He's presenting you with some basically this is the intel that he's gathered at this point. Things are going well, but these are the main problems that need to be resolved early on.
Sigurd, I feel like getting their communications down is important, and possibly getting those weapons to help arm the rest of the people fighting.
Okay.
Sigurd, how's your deception?
That's where my two cents are.
My deception is a 7, so it's meh. We can try. I'll try.
What about your persuasion?
Why did I have to pick Twi'lek? Because my
also, you get a lot of bonuses for being a Twi'lek.
The alien chick.
Because my persuasion is a plus 19, and my deception is a plus 14.
Mine is it's also a 700.
Got you.
All right.
So basically, if you guys pick one of these things, I can tell you what the key skills are for it.
All right. So what if we want to cancel the reinforcements or whatever? What would that be?
The one we were just talking about, deception and persuasion.
Okay. And you said we could possibly do that via comlink?
You could try, but you know it's going to be significantly more difficult.
I would almost say we try it because my persuasion is very, very high.
Let's try it.
Okay. Here come the reinforcements, guys.
Okay. So, again, a Nazarene resistance fighter picked up on transmissions from an Imperial channel from a guard post that has received word of the riots, and the idea is that you are attempting to pose as Imperial officers and convince the guard post to not send reinforcements. So, if you want to try remotely, Sartok will hook you up with a comlink that is already connected to this post as broadcasting on their same channel, and you're welcome to basically just start and try. What do you want to say, and which one are you going to roll, deception or persuasion?
I would say persuasion, but I can re-roll my deception if I screw it up, so let's try deception, and basically just to get on there and say something to the extent of our video's out, but you know, in the attack that we just were in, but we've quelled the riot, it's down. It was just a group of these people. They're savages. They're, you know, really throw some insults out to try to get them on my side against the natives and to, okay. You know, try to buddy up with them.
Okay. Make your roll.
I don't want to. Oh, lordy, lordy. Look who's turning 40.
28. All right. 18. Okay. Your initial broadcast is received basically with confusion, but not out and out disagreement. The officer that speaks back to you says that he's going to need access codes from you. He's going to need a clearance code because he does not recognize this channel, nor does he recognize your voice. And says that this is conflicting information from what they have received from their direct superior. So if you can provide that information, then they can certainly go over his head. But until such point, they cannot go against direct orders when they don't actually know who you are.
So being on this channel, pretend, flavor it that I'm intelligent. And can I use my computer skill to get these access codes somehow? Can I download them?
We can try.
Can I download them off LimeWire?
Sure. Sure. Make you use
space LimeWire.
Download them off ForceWire.
ForceWire.
That's a 29.
That's pretty good.
Okay. So you definitely have quite a few facsimiles of Imperial codes, so that'll give you a little fit to this next deception. So if you're wanting to hit him back with some of these codes, you have a pretty good idea of what they should look like.
Okay, then I'm going to do that. I guess roll deception again? Okay. Yep. Okay. Let's see, what is it? 2014.
Okay.
Do I, if I want to, never mind.
You can reroll deception, can't you?
I can't, but I was going to ask if I have to reroll it before you make your roll or if I can reroll it after.
Usually it says, is that a Twi'lek thing? That's a Twi'lek thing, isn't it?
I think so.
I think so too. I'll tell you for sure, just so we know.
Thank you, Melissa. I thought adding Grogu to the plays picture was a nice touch. It, you know, we'll only do it for Star Wars, obviously. If we ever play something else, I'll try to flavor the graphics you see to whatever game we're playing. God forbid we ever go back to Perryville.
He said if we ever play. We'll play some other things. Yeah, it's a Twi'lek thing. Deceptive. You can reroll any deception check, but you have to accept the reroll even if it's worse.
Oh, okay.
Is basically what it says. So it doesn't say it. It doesn't say before or after. I'm going to say that would have to be a before thing. You don't actually know if you have succeeded or failed at this point.
Right.
Try to go ahead and reroll it.
Are you sure? Are you okay?
The force.
If I reroll it, do you also reroll, or do you keep that five?
No, I'll keep my roll. You have no idea what their bonuses are, anyway.
I don't. All right, here. I mean, in my head, it's like, well, you got to roll better than a seven, right? Watch this. Roll that footage.
Well, you did.
It was better.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is better. Okay. Admittedly.
Yeah, eventually you're able to provide like a string of codes such that this guy, you hear him like kind of talking in the background. He comes back over and says, you hear this long pause and then effectively, okay, reinforcements rerouted. They're already in play. I just sent that thing flying. They're already in play, but we have them already out in the field. We can't recall them, but we will send them to another section of the city. So effectively, you have succeeded.
10-4, good.
They are routed. All right. So that's one success. What else do you guys want to do?
I agree with Lindsay about
the
tower.
What's the weapons require?
Stash weapons in an Imperial garrison. It could be enough to turn the tide in several sections of the city. You will have to find your way into the garrison, obtain the weapons, and funnel them to the resistance. So effectively, you're either going to have to bluff your way in by speaking to the guards and trying to get inside, much like what you just did, or using stealth to sneak in and get the weapons.
So Sigurd could try to bluff them while we sneak in from somewhere else.
This is true. Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Not saying it's a good idea, but
I'll stealth, Daddy.
I mean, I can stealth too.
Bluff in this case is deception for the record. So okay. Is what you're going to be rolling. So,
space ninjas.
Unless you guys really want Groz to participate in this, I'll have him hang back.
Yeah,
because everybody has to go. I mean, he has a +7 in his stealth, but he does not have to participate. So this is not a combat.
I'd say hang back.
Okay.
Roll on my deception.
Yes.
A 23.
All right. Ooh. And we're going to very much treat this as you've been provided with a very basic Imperial uniform. It looks reasonable enough. You're not going to be spending a lot of time standing there talking. What do you want to say? What are you doing?
Just basically trying to tell them I need immediate access to this cache of weapons ordered from higher up.
Okay.
That checks out.
Yeah, early on, you can tell that they're already a little suspicious. They hold you back at the very least to check over your clearance codes and those sorts of things. So anybody who's stealthing, go ahead and make me a roll. You've got enough to get one in before they're gonna start looking into Sigurd a little closer.
Ooh, Lindsay, you want it or do you want me to take it?
I mean, I thought we both were.
Well, he said you can get one in.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's fine. You take it.
Okay. I mean,
just out of curiosity, let's see what mine would have been. I'm just curious.
Well, hang on, you might still need it.
Oh god, I think I already rolled.
What if you roll a 20 and then you don't? No, it's fine. You rolled the exact same number anyway.
Yeah.
You guys, and I'm just gonna have one of you lead the whole kind of situation here. You're able to get a little ways into the building, but not quite into the weapons themselves. Basically, you're in the door, you're hidden away, but there's a lot higher Imperial presence here than you expected, and so for the moment, things are a little hinky. you're about halfway to where you need to be. Sigurd, you're going to have to make another deception check.
Use the force.
Oh, no.
That is not the force. Ooh. Hey, you got any destiny points?
Oh, well. Basically, as you're providing code similar to the things that Hirani had come across, these guys are distracted. There's a group of Nazarin fighters that go by outside, and so they send a couple of them that way. And so it's kind of a stalemate between the two of you. Nothing really takes place. You guys get another stealth check here. One stealth check.
Okay.
Whichever of you would like to make it.
Lindsay, what do we want to do?
My stealth sire.
I mean, Shannon, if you go ahead, you do it this time.
Okay.
Roll better.
That is not better.
I refuse. I refuse.
You better use a destiny point there, friend.
I got a destiny point, Tanner.
Well, it's either that or this is bad.
How bad could it be, honestly?
That's pretty bad.
I'm going to use a destiny point then, Hunter.
Okay. So what that does is it's not automatic success on a skill check, but basically you get an automatic 20 for it. So that brings you up to a 35. For a split second, you go to step out of the shadows and you see a trooper start to look in your direction. You back up and this brief little squad goes on by. But luckily, you can tell in the aftermath of that, you're listening and you can tell, hey, everybody's moved away from it. Looks like where we need to be. And so you get a pretty good ways into the building in that moment. In the process, once you discover what is effectively the actual armory, the two of you are able to load up a couple of like light crates, like hover crates of blasters and weaponry and that sort of stuff. And Ronnie, you also find a small cache of
thermal.
Really lame. I'm gonna give you two. I'll give you two thermal detonators.
Yes, I want them. I'm taking them. I'm keeping them. I earned them. I had a death. I used a destination point. Destiny point.
destination point.
Sorry.
So, if you want all the details on them, they are specifically detailed on. The full details are on page 130.
Okay. You said I have two, right?
Yes.
All right.
The short, like, details effectively are on page 127.
Okay.
The basics. They deal 8d6 damage. They explode in a. I'm just going to flavor it as a one square burst around. So whatever the center one is, and then every square adjacent to that. I think that makes the most sense. Okay. It goes off one round after you throw it, or you can set it to go off as many as three rounds after you throw it if you want to like stealth roll it in, basically, so they don't know it's there or something like that.
Sounds good.
Okay. And now to get out. Sigurd, make me a deception roll.
Oh, God. Haven't we done enough?
No. This is very different. You're on site for this.
20.
It's force time.
Yeah, you're able to keep them busy long enough that, you know, your companions have slipped out. And so eventually at the end of it, you kind of turn to, you know, this is ludicrous. My superiors, your superiors will hear about this, blah, 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 and step away. And so you guys make it out unscathed. The Nazarin resistance now has their hands on some much higher and stronger or much higher quality and stronger weaponry. And Hirani got those thermal detonators finally.
Yay.
It's ludicrous.
Why don't you send me ludicrous?
It's ludicrous. Ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Why?
It's ludicrous.
What does he have to do with anything?
Is it ludicolo?
You said it was ludicrous. I wanted to give a visual aid for Tanner.
This is ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
Okay. There are a handful of other things that you can attempt. I will tell you now that you need to succeed on at least one more of them before you can proceed effectively. There's the communications array. I know Iris mentioned something about that. The captured resistance fighters, and then the access codes that the group had obtained and then they had gone missing.
I think we either need to do communication or try and find the missing group with the codes.
What's the tower entail?
Yeah, okay, well, can we only do one more, or can we do as many as we want?
You can do as many as you want, but you need to succeed on at least one more of them. Okay. A communications ray atop a Nazrin building needs to be disabled so the Empire cannot signal the Arcanian dragon for help. That requires climb checks to get to the roof and then mechanics checks to secure explosives.
Who's got the best climbing?
Probably Groz, I'm going to guess.
Call our Wookiee friend.
But I've
I
got
have
the,
a plus three.
But I've got the mechanics.
Groz has a plus seven. And he has a plus three to mechanics.
I have a plus 16 to mechanics. But
what's your
climb? Not much.
It's a plus two.
Wait, why is this climb so low? Oh, it was a seven. Never mind. I thought I said it was a three. It's a seven. That makes more sense. Because okay, half so, level is four and a strength bonus is three. So
how high is this tower?
Oh, it's high. There's at least seven there's at least seven climb checks. Sorry.
I didn't say that. it's a communications tower, so it's reasonably high. I can't say off the top of my head how many checks it would take.
I'm small and Groz is big. Can Groz just carry me on his back as he climbs?
No, he's not that big.
Oh.
He's big, but he's not that big.
He's the rock of the Wookiee community.
No, he's not. No, but she's like a full-fledged humanoid. This is not Luke carrying Yoda, man. This is another full person on his back.
What's the other one? What's the other one?
They're freeing the fighters and then the getting the codes from a missing group.
The codes. What's that one need?
Let's see. The chaos of the riots has left many resistance groups scattered and uncoordinated. One group in particular has obtained access codes to the Imperial garrison, but the group cannot be found. You must make gather information checks to locate the missing Nazrin or find alternative ways to contact them.
Can you gather information?
Me too. What's your bonus?
Plus 17.
Ooh. You got it. Yeah. I got a 14.
That's what the Bothans
do. You trumped me.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Yes. All right.
Not a Bothan was found in Rogue.
Have you guys watched that new Netflix show, Bothan King?
Botherton?
Botherton?
No. 27.
Yeah, I don't even have a DC for that, but yes. Yeah, sure. I feel like that one's relatively simple. Yeah, this is. So you guys, for the record, you succeeded on two of the more difficult ones early on. A couple of these are relatively simple, and so that's why I said you really only need one more, because it's a total number of successes. Some of them they give you more points towards success than others. But yeah, this is enough that basically, Iris, you start asking the right questions in the right places, and just to kind of hand wave it, it doesn't take very long for you to find this particular group had been cut off. In a former detention center, and so you guys are able to get them out of there while the Imperials aren't looking and gather the access codes to the garrison. So success.
I did something helpful.
Success.
Yeah. I feel like we still need to take out that communications tower, because I feel like that's gotta come back and haunt us if we don't do that.
We're going to.
I mean, I kind of agree.
We're talking about a Star Destroyer, right? Did you say Star Destroyer?
The Arcanian Dragon, the one that you encountered before you came down to the planet surface. And then the other, for the record, there is still that group of captured fighters that are still locked away when the guards were called away.
What do we need for that one?
You must make mechanics or strength checks to open the cell doors and allow the prisoners to escape.
I got it. I'll take the mechanics.
Okay. Splitting the party?
What?
No, this isn't combat.
It doesn't matter. You're just going. Right.
Please.
Just a little force humor for you.
There we go.
God.
Good Lord.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say, actually, when you guys find... I'm going to put those two together. Iris, your information gathering leads you to the detention facility where you find the one group that has the codes. In the meantime, you also come across this other group of captured fighters, and since the guards have been called away while you're getting the codes from them and getting them released, Harani is also releasing the remaining prisoners who are allowed to escape. They take up the arms that you guys got from the armory, and they are joining the resistance. So yeah, the only remaining bit at this point would be the Nazrin communications array.
Let's go do it.
I feel like we should send Graz up there to do it because he's got the best climbing and a decent mechanics. I think he can do this job. Plus, we've all done something and he hasn't.
Yeah.
And he's still sitting on four or on five force points too. So
let's do it. Get a big buddy. All right.
So we're going to have him try to climb the building. You get a good look at it now and can see that it's a grand total of about 45 feet up that he's going to have to go upward, which means he'll have to make a grand total of 3 climb checks to get to the top. Kaz.
I don't want to know.
Kaz, what are you doing to him?
Okay, there it is. It's horse thrust.
All right. All right, DC 15 is what he needs to hit, and that's exactly the number he hits. So the first climb, he goes straight up to 15. Let's do another. Yeah, he makes it. Oh, that one lets force point. Perfect. All right. So Graz is down a force point, but he makes it to the top of the building. With his mechanics check, he's got this little satchel of explosives. He's going to secure the explosives. He gets a 3 to that. Hey, 15. That's what he needed. Total. All right. Perfect. So secures the explosives. I'm not going to make climb checks for him to get back down. It's good enough.
Let's just
we're gonna hand wave it.
Yeah,
we're late enough in the evening. I'm not worried about it. You guys have already succeeded on most of the hard stuff anyway. So, Graz secures the explosives, makes his way back down to the bottom. Hirani hits the detonator, blows the thing, and effectively the tower explodes. And so it looks like they'll have a tougher time communicating with their overlords out in the planet's atmosphere. So, or outside of the atmosphere, I should say. All right. Very good. Where are we going next? Sorry, I'm trying to pull up a couple different things here. And we're almost, just for the record, finished for the evening. But
and how long would all of this take in game time?
All of this stuff happens in the course of like half a day. I mean, you guys are kind of moving pretty quickly from place to place. You notice that even though you are clearly taking out decent chunks of the Empire's infrastructure of their communications and of their armaments and stuff, there's still a pretty strong Imperial presence there, and you're seeing more and more fighters in the streets. Along the way, there would be some minor combat that we're not going to roll out. You know, you guys come around and Sigurd cuts down a couple of troopers and you guys are blasting away at them, and it's you know, it's all out chaos basically in the streets at this point. Things are pretty crazy. At one point in time after that, after you blow up the communications array, you guys are making your way with Sartok back down the streets, and a series of V-wings go screaming overhead way too close to you. You can see in the distance from you, they are dropping what look like mines, and they're making blaster fire runs now on some of the larger buildings, so it's clear that the Empire is moving away from just using their walking armaments and such. One of the buildings that is very close to you just practically explodes. It sends chunks of rubble everywhere, and you can hear a lot of the buildings on this street are groaning and look ready to collapse. And in that moment, from a set of stairs leading down to a pretty sturdy looking bunker, you hear a voice call out, a very familiar voice of an older Nazrin woman who starts waving you over. This is Kezrin, the woman that you met who took you into her home before. She's calling to all of you. This is one of the few Nazrin who doesn't just talk to Sartok, because of course she knows you all. It says, over here, quickly, you'll be safe over here. So she waves you into the lower level of what looks like effectively a church or an older meeting house. I'm just assuming you guys go along.
Yes.
sorry, I kind of took over there.
It's all right.
You hear loud cracks as other buildings begin to sort of slide into the street and are cracking and imploding all around you. She slams the door shut. Sartok starts to speak with her about her children and the safety of everyone involved and such. And you guys kind of get your bearings looking around the area that you're in. Again, this looks like some sort of church or old meeting house. You can see the dust raising up outside the room there. The walls of this kind of basement area are really sturdy, as best you can tell. There are pillars that are holding it up. It's not extremely well lit. It's not very well furnished, but for the most part, you believe that you are safe for the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
What do we do next? I'm asking out loud, okay, because they're bombing outside and we're stuck in this basement. What's the plan? Iris. Yeah.
Sartok is speaking with this woman, this Kazrin, and so there, you guys are kind of left to your own devices for just a second there.
Sit down and get off my feet for a minute, because we've been running all over the place.
You might want to try to heal me a little bit.
Oh, that's something. Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Let me check my healing again. What do we got? 14. Okay. There you go. Do with it what you must. Not much.
Okay.
Not much at
so
all.
So you rolled over. So you roll over the basic DC. Sigurd, you would get back your level plus 3 over, so 12. You get back 12 hit points.
It's not terrible.
Groz, for the record, Groz is down a total of 17, but he still has 103 left, so unless you're really worried about him, I'm not. I don't know how many med packs you've got left at this point, so that's completely up to you.
I also need to buy some more med packs whenever I get the chance.
That's a good idea.
Still have one you can use if need be.
Yeah, I've got a few.
Anything else you guys need to do while you're here?
I guess, can I treat injury on myself too while I'm at it?
Yeah, you can do that.
Isn't
what, huh?
Jeez!
I say, doesn't he have a, isn't there some kind of a minus for trying to heal yourself?
I hope not.
Surgery on yourself.
So that's,
no, I think, trying to perform surgery on yourself, it is. Treat injury is very much bandaging wounds and that kind of stuff.
Is that my second or third nat one tonight? On a roll.
Second, I think. The good news is, again, you can't auto-fail a skill check, and you still hit the DC, it just, you only get your, you didn't go over it, so you only get your character level's worth of hit points back, so 9.
Okay. What about you?
Iris, anything in particular you need to do?
Really?
Are you healed up? Okay. You injured?
Did I take, the only time I might have taken damage was when I stepped out for a minute from that speeder, so I'm still at full health.
Yep. I can't remember the last time I hit her. She's crafty.
It's been a while.
She's the crafty veteran.
Also, Hunter,
I haven't used the actual check, but I have acrobatics. I dodge.
I forgot to update my force points during this session. What am I at?
I have you at 4.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, I have me or you at 4, Iris at 9, and Sigurd at 5. And then the only 2 destiny points, only 4. There's 2 for Sigurd and 2 for Iris. So as you guys are kind of coming down a little bit, Sartok is speaking with this woman about what's going on. They're trading information. You guys are, you know, doing some healing. Hirani's trying to get everybody back up to speed. Groz is reloading his weapons. Iris is reloading her blasters and cleaning the dust and stuff out of them. In the back of the room from the set of steps that you came down, you hear what sounds like a crunching noise. And Sartok immediately looks up and turns his attention there, because it's getting louder and it's getting closer. And as everyone turns their attention to the wall, this little crack forms and a drill spirals through it. Then something comes in to spread that portion of the wall and spreads it wide open and smashes through. In the back of the room, you can see coming through that hole are... Oh, that's not the one. I did it again. I said the thing I already sent. Whoops. Hang on.
Whoopsie.
And deleted. I already saved them as tokens. I screwed it up. Give it back to me.
Give it back to him.
Give it back to me.
Give him back his land, Hank.
Give the boy back his... Is that it? That's it. All right. A handful of these come pouring through the hole that's opened. Sigurd, in particular, you would recognize these as crab droids from the Clone Wars.
That is unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to look back at Iris and Hirani and say, we got a bad case of crabs.
Boo!
So as everyone basically turns, and then he leaves and he's out, as everyone basically turns and trains their weapons in that direction and these crab droids burst out through the wall, that is where we're going to end it for tonight.
Of course.
I put up the picture of the crab so the kids could see it.
Thank you. That's handy. Ooh. Is it the crab smoking the cigarette?
No, but it should have been. Damn it.
What about the one been. With the knife?
It should be the crab with a knife.
And also smoking a cigarette.
That'll be the picture for next week.
That's a bad crab, man.
I blame the schools. All right, that is where we are going to end it for tonight, guys. As always, thank you so much for joining, for listening, for watching along. As always, you can do so every week going forward, pretty well exclusively on Tuesdays, except for the rare occasions where we're here on the weekend. Tuesday night starting at 7 here on the Podzilla 1985 Facebook page. Of course, you can always go back and listen to the episodes as well as podzilla1985.com. There he is. There's that crab with the knife.
There's that crab.
Later crab. This week, I'm assuming we got what PWU tomorrow night. Ace and Dalton gonna recap the Elimination Chamber.
Yes, because tomorrow night would be Wednesday. So yes,
yes,
yeah.
I did it without even thinking about it.
Ace has already told me they're definitely doing PWU. They're gonna talk about an Elimination Chamber. So we've already spoiled it here, but some big. No, we have it because this is Tuesday. So it's been days since this has been aired.
It really depends on how you're consuming this media. That's whichever true. Way it is, that's what's going on.
If you're here with us live or if you're rewatching this later on, it's kind of been spoiled right. for you. But yeah, definitely PW this Wednesday. Thursday is going to be After Dark. We are going to get Lindsay, Jesse, and Shelby, I hope, their Funko Pop, because we didn't get them last time.
Until like Discord tells us to like go away again.
Yeah, because they all quit the show mid-show. I don't know why.
It just froze. Nothing was happening. I was not happy.
Very rude.
Didn't like the topic.
I will tell you one thing we're going to talk about, Hunter, and it may be something that interests you. Now, I don't know if you can be on it, but it's something I think maybe we can carry over into horse time. There's been a lot of talk lately about Britney Spears and mm-hmm. not only what she went through with the documentary, what's it called? Framing Britney or Framing Britney Spears mm-hmm. or whatever?
Free Britney.
That's the movement. It's the Free Britney movement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either, but I've heard it's great.
What I remember from SNL is that she's the reason you know the word conservatorship. So
yes. But there's been a lot of talk of it, and everyone's coming out of the woodwork to like go back to these events that happened to Britney Spears and these videos, and they've shown the old clips of Justin Timberlake bragging about stuff, and everyone feels bad for Britney, and I do too. And then it's kind of gone from there into other stuff where now I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a video clip circulating of David Letterman when he's interviewing Lindsay Lohan, and he literally makes her cry. And there's just all of this. There's all of the yeah. He's asking her about like drug use and stuff like that, to the point that she's like practically begging him to stop, and he keeps going.
She's like, we didn't discuss this beforehand,
right?
And good lord. Keeps going.
And they're also doing it with his interviews with Paris Hilton, stuff like that. But there's just this big thing of you bringing these stuff back. You can't do this. You know, this is terrible. I'm sickened by watching this. And my problem with it is that this didn't just happen. This happened years ago. Where has the outrage been for the past 10, 15, 20 years? And there should be outrage.
Yeah.
But why now? Yeah. Because it's picking up steam somewhere else. Do suddenly so many people are coming out to fight against us? I don't know. I just got a lot to say about it. We're going to talk about that on Thursday along with Lindsay's fun topic. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So we got that Thursday. Yeah, I may be around. I've got a meeting that evening, but past that, I may have a chance to. And if nothing else, like you said, Friday night.
It's horse time. It's horse thrust.
It's horse time. Friday night, I will be there. So if we don't get to do that Thursday, then definitely Friday I'll have I can chime in on those things. And then, of course, we do it all again next week, next Tuesday night, right back here for the next installment of The First to Strike, episode 5 of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign. Once more, guys, thank you so much. As always,
he leaves power. Thanks.
Basic good. Number one.
for tuning in. We will see you here next week. Until then, for Lindsay, for Tanner, and for Shannon, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you next week. Later.